Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. This is radio program number 63 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have a very special guest in the studio with me today. It's Helga Prose, and she is from Vancouver, Canada. She moved to Panama about a little over a year ago, and God has just been doing amazing work in her life. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So it's great. I had the privilege of going to a new church here in Boquete. A young man named Josh Kurth started. Mm-hmm. His church is called Elevate Church, and it's real exciting what he's doing as a young man that was a youth pastor, and he's starting a church here, and you were preaching Sunday, and as I was sitting there, I thought, you know, this woman tells the truth. She's a preacher of the truth. She's not afraid to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I thought, you know, I wish this could be heard in the churches of America. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, this is a good way to do it. I'll just have her on the program and have her just share her heart and see where the Lord takes us. But tell us a little bit. I just want to maybe you share briefly of your experience of what took you out of your comfort zone. You were in your comfort zone, I know, there in Canada. You ministered for quite a few years there. But some things kind of changed for you here a little over a year ago, I guess in September, I think is when you...
They did. They did indeed. And it was a turn that I never expected in all of my life. I really did expect to stay all of my life in Canada and minister and continue to minister there. But there was a scripture that the Lord had given me in 1981 when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that scripture was in Jeremiah 1, where he says, "I've called you to be a prophet to the nations." And I remember going through that period of time when I was just a young gal, just ministering and just preaching the word as best as I knew. And I remember referring back to Jeremiah 1, and I said, "God, the nations, it's plural. I'm just here in Canada." And so what I did really was I put it on the back burner. And so through a series of events, I was ministering in our church, in our local church. I went and did ladies conferences and just did all sorts of things and led prophetic prayer for 15 years. And I was just in good shape, you know. I thought I was in good shape. And so through a course of events, my husband's business had to be closed because of all sorts of things that had happened in the economy. And he was a contractor and I was his Girl Friday, and I did all the work for the business and so on and so forth. And so through that period of time, the burning, the testing of the Lord really began in earnest, because I really did want to do the will of God for my life. I really did, in my heart. I really, really did. And so I really did pray that way. "God, you know, I just want you. I want more of you and less of me, oh God." And so, of course, you know, when you pray that way, somewhere in your mind, you think, well, God hears you, but you don't really know how he's going to answer you. And he answers you by fire, guaranteed every time. He does. To burn away all the dross and all the chaff and stuff like that, because he said, well, that you said you wanted this, didn't you? And so anyway, through that time, my husband closed his business and he found a job on a major construction site and so on and so forth. And life began to get better financially and so on and so forth. And one day he was sitting in the living room. It was a Sunday afternoon, I remember. And he was just reading the paper or playing on the iPad or whatever. And I just happened to say to him, "Are you happy?" And he looked at me without a breath. He said, "No." And my heart sank because I didn't understand. He's got a job. What's the deal? You know, everything is good. And so he said, "It has nothing to do with our marriage. We've been married for 43 years. Glory to God." And things were good from that perspective. But he said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't want to live the rest of my life like this. I want the will of God for my life." He said, "Not exactly sure what that looks like right now," but he said, "I don't want to do this for the rest of my life." So it wasn't too long after that that I was speaking to a girl who had lost her husband and subsequently came down to Panama where her father lives. And she was there for here for about 3 months. She comes back up to Canada. We're standing at the front of the church just chatting, talking. She's telling me about her trip to Panama and stuff and, you know, all the different opportunities that were down here and so on and so forth. And so when I came home, my husband asked me, so how did your, you know, talk with this young lady go? And I told him, and then I told him what she said about Panama. And so the very next morning, when I got up, he said, I've been thinking, he said, and I owe it to the Lord Jesus Christ, not Helga, but to the Lord Jesus Christ and us to go down there and take a look and see what's going on. And I'm telling you, that's not my husband. My husband would have not regularly done something like that. So anyway, we hopped the plane, came down, took a look. We were down here for a week. I met Andrew. Didn't ever think that I'd ever be standing here talking to Andrew again. I mean, how would I know that at that point? But I met him then. And so we were down here. We were excited. Everything was good. And we went to the Tocumen Airport, Andrew, and we were about ready to board the plane, and he put his hands in his pocket, and he looked out the window, and he said, I don't want to leave. He said, this is now home. And my heart sank, because when you live in Canada or the United States or any other first world nation, everything is great, isn't it, just? And we were to come down here. But I knew in my heart that he heard God. I knew it. I didn't like it, but I knew it. Because why would I want to do that, huh? And so anyway, we came back up to Canada. We sold all of our stuff. I had stuff, lots of stuff, and I had to sell it. But there was a grace for that, Andrew. There really was a grace for that. And I mean, I was getting rid of my stuff, and I was selling it, and money was coming in. People wanted my stuff. I never thought anybody want my stuff. But it was amazing, because my daughter is with a young man who's not saved, and God used him miraculously, and I'm telling you, the money just started coming in. He backed us, and it was just amazing to me, because, I mean, he didn't know God, didn't care about God. He knew Helga and Marinus were, you know, saved and so on and so forth, but he didn't want anything to do with God. But he didn't realize that God used him. So we came down here in January 31st, 2014, our feet hit Panamanian soil. And the journey has been very, very interesting, because I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and God, through the years, you know, there were things that were tempered in my life, and he took out, and I gave up, and so on and so forth. But this was much different, because it was almost like I met him for the first time, and I had to learn to submit my heart to him in such a way that I've never done before, because when you are in a very safe place, when you are in a place where money is in abundance, when you're in the place where friends are in abundance, then God is in a place in your life where he's not really on the throne of your heart, like he said he wants to be. And so I had to look at it and recognize in my own life those were just rags, you know, in my own heart. And so through the period of time that I walked through this with my husband, I had to yield my heart in such a way that I've never yielded my heart before, Andrew, never. It was like I thought I did, and I thought I was doing really good. But you know what? When you say to God, change me, rearrange me, do whatever you want in my life, when you start praying like that, God looks at you and say, okay, now I've got you where I want you. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, It was a very difficult journey, but I'll tell you, I'm standing here now, over a year has gone by, and I would have to tell you that I know God's voice more quickly. I know him deeper. Do I know him the way I want to know him? No. But I would have to say that when I got my posterior off the bench and put my boots on the ground and started walking with him, and allowed him to tell me what it was that was standing between me and him, it was frightening, but yet it was liberating, because I thought, oh man, that's been standing there all of my life, and now he showed me how to pull all that stuff out. And we still got a long ways to go, but I'll tell you what, things are not easy in Panama. They're relaxed, but they're not necessarily easy. But I want you to know, that I am so thankful to the Lord Jesus for. Now, you got to know, this is the first time this has really come out of my mouth publicly, but I'm so glad that he took me out of Canada and brought me into Panama, because he's given me a gift and I've got a voice in the body of Christ to be able to help the people that are listening to me now, helping the people that are in Panama and countries beyond to minister the word of the living God. And the word that comes forth is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I want you to know that God's body is coming into position where the Lord is going to visit his churches and he's going to do what he wants to do. Check it out. Everything that God ever wanted to do in the Bible, he got done. It didn't matter who it was, didn't matter who tried to stop him. His will was done.
That's right. And he's going to do his will,
yeah,
with or without us. He's looking to do it with us, mm-hmm. but we have to choose to submit.
Yes.
And this is the word of the Lord right now to mm-hmm. his body, his submission,
mm-hmm.
because he's not going to have a renegade church.
No, he's not.
This independent-minded and mindset mm-hmm. that, you know, if you don't like the way things run, you just go start a new church, or you just go to, you know, it's one thing I've learned here is he's calling for his body to submit mm-hmm. to authority. Because he's ultimately that authority,
sure,
in his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he sets authority in place and structures mm-hmm. of authority. And probably our problem is that we guise rebellion as independence and independent-mindedness.
Yes.
You know, just like a child that wants to be free and to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is it's a rebellion inside mm-hmm. of him. He doesn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He mm-hmm. wants to go do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And usually those are from some very troubling times in his life. Mm-hmm. And I know one of my children decided that he wanted to, you know, strike out on his own. Mm-hmm. And I had just after he left, I was in a hotel room. I sold equipment on the road and I was traveling quite a bit. And I saw this picture of this beautiful, big, you know, probably a, you know, 6x6 buck jumping this fence, mm-hmm. and I looked at this, as I was looking at this picture, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, "That's my son," mm-hmm. and I said, "What do you mean?" And then I looked, and inside the fence there was green grass, mm-hmm. and outside on this fence that he was the direction he was going, there was brown grass, mm-hmm. and it didn't make sense. So why would a deer jump from green grass to brown grass?
Sure.
But it's the rebellion in our heart that makes us want to jump authority, jump mm-hmm. structure, jump submission. And we want to go do what we want to do. But the blessing that God has for us is inside that place of safety, really. The fence is around, just like the sheep. It's around the sheep, not to restrict them and make them not free because mm-hmm. they want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place of safety. It's a place that God has us in accountability and submission. That's our place of safety. That's where the green grass is. When we jump outside the grass or jump outside that fence,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing but brown grass waiting for you, because his
right.
blessing's not going to follow your rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's calling all of us as a body right now to submit to his authority and let him be God in our life. And mm-hmm. and like you said, you know, we live in a place, most people that are listening to this program have lived in a country mm-hmm. that has had everything laid out there on the table for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the finances, the blessing of God has been there, but one of the most dangerous place to be is where we have become so complacent and so comfortable, because when you're in a place of comfort, you usually find a place to go to sleep and you're in a place of rest,
mm-hmm.
and we don't grow. And, mm-hmm. and the thing that really jumped out to me was I saw that Jesus said that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay mm-hmm. his head. You know, guess what? He didn't have a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
He had no place to get complacent in his mm-hmm. in his calling and his mm-hmm. destiny. And if we're following him, then guess what? You're in that same, he wants us in that same place, that we don't grow complacent in our comfort zone. And when you left Canada, just like when I left the United States, I left my comfort zone.
Well, we
did. And you know what? Guess what? Mm-hmm. You're going to start growing outside, because you're never going to grow inside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the Lord, when he's saying, "Follow me," He's saying, "I want you to leave your comfort zone." That's what he said. He said, "Look, you know, forsake all."
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
That doesn't look very comfortable, to forsake all.
Do you know, it's so interesting about leaving, you know, where the Israelites left Egypt. And when things got hard, when they went through the wilderness, they said that they wanted to go back and eat the cucumbers and leeks and all that, you know? And I always thought when I read that scripture, I thought, well, that's kind of a silly thing for them to say. But you know what? When I was here in the darkest time, I sat there and I thought, I would love to go back to Canada. Thank you very much. And all of a sudden, those scriptures came to my mind. And I thought, you know what? I can see how that worked. It's because you have to go. Jesus went through the wilderness, didn't he, Andrew? Yes. He went into the wilderness, but guess how he went? He went led by the Holy Ghost, and he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So I looked at it, and I thought, you know what, wait a minute here. We went out in the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're coming into this land with the Holy Ghost, and he's bringing us into a new place. And it's, you know, new place spiritually.
Right.
A new place spiritually. It's not the geography. God doesn't care about the geography as much as we do, although there's borders that he does expect you, like, you know, about that buck wanting to jump over. There are those borders that he wants us to stay within. And if he takes us out and puts us into another pasture, so to speak, then we need to be happy where we are and content with the one who is the shepherd of our souls, who's the one that brings us into his goodness and brings his life and his authority into this land and into all the other lands, even Canada, United States. Come on.
Yeah.
We're talking about God's authority coming in through his people, boots on the ground, butts off the
That's
bench,
right.
and move forward.
That's right. And you know, he is, you won't, when he's leading you, you won't have to jump the gate. You won't
That's
have to
right.
jump the fence. He's the door. You're going to go through
mm-hmm.
him.
Yes.
You're going to go through his way when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go at his leading. And rebellion doesn't lead to a very good place in our life. I've lived that place when I was younger, and it was not a fruitful place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I finally met the Lord, when he revealed and manifested himself to me, I realized, you know, I wouldn't be alive. It was only by his grace mm-hmm. that he revealed himself to me,
mm-hmm.
because if I was him, I would have zapped me a long time ago mm-hmm. in my rebellious state.
Yeah.
But it was his love and his compassion for me that revealed himself to me. And I thought, you know, if he loved me so much that he took care of me when I didn't care about him,
yeah, really.
How much more could he take care of me and love me if I put my life in his hands? Yeah. And that's the change. That's the time in my life when everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really all he's asking for all of us right now is, you know, how much better could I take care of you if you put your life in my hand?
Yeah.
Well, you just put your life in my hand and trust me.
Yeah, amen.
You're not here on your own accord. You're
no.
here because of him.
Because
you know.
Of him. And you know what the thing is about all of that? You won't have anybody that is going to validate you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody validated me, except, of course, our pastors and our church body, and even in that. But our pastors released us with Ezekiel 36:9, where the Lord said, he said, I'm going to turn to you. And that we would be tilled and plowed, I think is how that scripture goes. I haven't got my Bible in front of me right at the moment. But it was very, very interesting, because you're not going to get validation. The only one that can validate you is Jesus himself. And I liked what you said about revealing, that he reveals himself, and he is revealing himself to the church, to his church, all over the world. And are we recognizing him, or are we saying, Lord, who are you?
Yeah.
What are we doing exactly? Are we recognizing Jesus, the head of the church, or are we not? That's a big question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I felt like he was calling me
mm-hmm.
for a long time in my life,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to answer the phone because I was kind of scared what he was going to tell me.
Yeah.
And what he was going to require of me. And it wasn't until I came to a point in my life when I knew I needed him. And it's like as soon as I answered the phone, it's just him. I just want to come over. Just invite me in.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I didn't want to invite him over because my house was such a mess. I mean, how could you entertain a holy, righteous God, you know, in this filthy mess? But as soon as I said, yes, you may come into my life, immediately there's a knock on my front door. And I go, oh, I didn't have time to clean my house.
Yeah.
So I go answer the door, and there his holy presence is standing in front of me. And I felt like a piece of dirt under a magnifying glass. And I hear the words he said, the first words he said to me was, I'm not here to condemn you, I'm here to help you.
Yeah, amen.
And I just said, well, come on in, and pardon the mess, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what would I do? I mean, my house is a mess, and I don't feel right that you're living in this mm-hmm. filth. He said, well, how would you clean it? Your house. I go, well, I guess I go to one room and clean it and go to the next. And he said, that's all you can do with your life. Mm-hmm. You can't snap your fingers and make everything jump into place. So
that's right.
He said, just don't leave the room until you finished it. Mm-hmm. You know, do a complete job. So that's what he did. He began to reveal things in my life. But it was his gracious love and
yes.
his strength
yes.
that gave me the ability to go into rooms that I had struggled with for years mm-hmm. and help me and assist me. And we did it by his strength, and it wasn't by my own power, I know, because, see, he changes our desires. Mm-hmm. He changes our heart.
Yes, he does.
You know, and this is what he's looking for to do, is just let me come in
yeah.
and let me change your heart. Let me
yes.
change your desires, because when we do, it's no longer, you're not living by, because I didn't really want to quit doing what I wanted to do until mm-hmm. he came in, then I didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And so it was really easy to quit doing the stuff I knew I shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
Because it was him living inside of me and give me mm-hmm. the desires of my heart.
Yeah.
And this is what he wants to do with all of us right now. He wants to change our heart. And so everything changes once our heart changes.
That's right. That's right. Because there's a divine alignment.
Yeah.
God gives us a divine alignment, aligning us with him and his will for our life. And you know what? All through the Bible, you take a look and you see that. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Glory to God. He's anointed our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the day of our life. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How awesome is that? How awesome is that love? And as he set us into the body, as he has set us in, as men and women and sons and daughters of the Most High, as he has set us in there, it's like, Who wouldn't want to walk and talk with him and serve him and do what he said to do? Who wouldn't want to do that? I didn't want to come to Panama, really, in my heart. Part of me did, part of me didn't. But now I look and I say, oh, there's a greater purpose for all of the things in the last 35 years that I've been trained up, and God's been bringing me into out of the hothouse thing and putting mm-hmm. me into the ground and planting me. But His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You know, the greatest thing I've seen is that God has to do a work in us before he can do a work through us.
Yeah,
and this
sure.
is kind of the preliminary phase mm-hmm. of the greater things he wants to do
yeah.
in and through our lives, is that we have to allow him to do stuff in us right now and change some things.
Mm-hmm.
We come with attitudes we don't realize we have.
That's true.
Because we just compare ourselves with everybody else in the church.
Sure.
You know, whatever. You know, and we're just as good as this guy here. It's like we compare ourselves with each other.
Yep.
And it's like a bunch of pygmies going back to back, you know, comparing their heights. And this
yep.
taller guy walks in the crowd. And, you know, you don't realize you're a yep. pygmy until this tall guy walks in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like until you compare yourself to Jesus,
yeah.
really, you're just comparing yourself like a bunch of pygmies, you know, trying to compare height.
Very unwise, the Bible
yeah.
says. Very unwise.
So God's trying to say, look, I'm going to raise the standard. I'm going to raise yeah. your standard now
yeah.
because you're not where I want you to be. And then this is one of the things, when you get out of your comfort zone like we did when you left Canada, I left the United States, that was when everything changed for me. I realized I'm a mess. You know, I thought I was, compared myself to all these pygmies, looking pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
But I realized I didn't meet the standard of what God wanted to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he began to put me in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And refined myself, my family, and I know he's done the same thing in your life too. Just share a little bit about the fire in your life, the refining fire that God has been doing over the last year. I know that just the attitudes, not wanting mm-hmm. to leave, even at times you want to go back, you know, to the comforts of the former life, so to speak.
I think I didn't recognize to begin with what was happening. Because there were certain times in my life that God dealt with me about certain things, like he does with all of his people. It's not unusual. But this was a bit of a different level, because I had to submit myself to his leadership. I had to submit myself to my husband's vision. And because I was, you know, I was minister and stuff. I had it going on, right? And so pride. There was a lot of pride that God has worked out in my life. And there is a lot of dependency upon money. Gee, I tell you, you know what? Listen, that spirit of mammon over this world system and stuff like that, you get so hooked into that, you don't realize, you say with one side of your mouth that you're believing God for something, but you can go over to the credit card real quick and do whatever you need to do. And you know what? God's people, that's not how God wants his people to live. He wants them to live on dependency upon him. And so God's been burning that out of me, and God's been burning self-will out of me. And now this new church, this Elevate Church and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, so now where do I go here? How does all of that work? And so there's a sense here where God is taking the old stuff out of my life that no longer works. It worked for a while, but it doesn't work. And now he's just burning that out. And also, too, teaching me who he really is. Sometimes we like to read the Bible through rose-colored glasses. And I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm just telling on myself here. But that's how that works. And Jesus says, you know what? You're a vessel of honor that I've put on the face of the earth. And now it's time for you to step on into a deeper relationship with me. So that means you've got to let all the other stuff go. You've got to let it go. You know, I'll tell you, as a mother, I used to say to my kids, let it go. Drop it already. And God is saying those things to me and saying, this is the direction that I want you to walk in. I was really not very happy about it because I had my direction set. I had my direction set. And so that sounds awful, doesn't it? So Jesus comes along in my life and taps me on the shoulder and goes, all right, let's talk a little bit here and stuff. And you know what? Have you ever been mad at God?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't seem fair.
No, really ticked off. I was really ticked off and stuff. And I know the people that are listening to me right now are going, you know what? She was ticked off. I've been ticked off with God for years. You know what this? I'll say this and then I think it's time to close, but I'll say this. The Lord spoke to me in 2009. And I was ministering at the church and so on. And God said, I want you to be real. I don't want you to speak, I don't want you to preach this way like that anymore, but I want you to take and I want you to be real because the people need to hear. They need to hear what the reality is. I want you to preach the word of God, but I want you to be vulnerable and open so that the people can see the woman of God is just a person like they are, and so that there is, that there's not a line of demarcation between the laity
That's right.
and the clergy. You know, I understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, so God's been doing a great work. Praise the Lord.
You know, I was thinking about what you just said a minute ago. A place where God finally gets a hold of us. And when I came here, I left everything as well. You know, came with suitcases. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anybody, didn't know the language. And I said, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And he said, good, now you're where I want you.
Ooh.
And I think, you know, this is where he wants all of us. He wants our hearts to a place where we're totally dependent upon mm-hmm. him. And I think once you get to that place where you're totally dependent on him, this is why he said, you cannot be my disciple unless you forsake all. Mm-hmm. I have to be your source. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then yes. he can't disciple mm-hmm. us because we're not discipleable.
That's true.
We're still living for ourselves.
We are.
So thank you so much,
Well, thank
Helga.
You. It's God been a joy. You. Been
yeah.
a joy.
Thanks for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with a number 4 thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.